Today on Annenberg Radio News.
We are instructing parents that if their kids are sick, to keep them home and do not bring them to school.
Schools aren't taking any chances with the swine flu. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 28, 2009. I'm Brooke Sydney Gavins. Governor Schwarzenegger declared a state of emergency this morning in an effort to coordinate the response to the swine flu outbreak. New cases continue to be found around the country and abroad. So far, there are 11 confirmed cases of the disease in California, but none confirmed in Los Angeles. Director for the California Department of Public Health, Dr. Mark Horton, says the state has the situation under control.
We have the full cooperation of the healthcare community. They are, at our request, very alert to an influenza-like illness, are doing appropriate testing and interacting with the public health community, both at the local and state level, to ensure that we have a good network and ability to detect the influenza that's occurring in our communities.
Today, coroners investigated the death of two men who were thought to have died from the rare disease. One tested negative for swine flu. The other is still being investigated. Also, the Los Angeles mother and daughter who were thought to have the flu tested negative. While the state is taking every precaution it can, some Angelenos think the swine flu is being blown out of proportion.
Sometimes I think the media blows things out of proportion and causes fear in everybody. But I think the fear is caused because of what we don't know.
I went to my local news website for like my hometown the other day, and like all of the headlines were about swine flu, and I was like, everything is about swine flu and there's not even any cases reported in that town.
Of course, politicians and people that are in charge, they feel even more compelled to do something when they feel, besides the public pressure, the media pressure. It might be a more effective tool to get these guys to do the job they would have to do anyways.
To protect yourself from the infection, remember to wash your hands as much as possible and to go to the doctor if you experience flu-like symptoms. While officials brace for possible cases of swine flu in the county, a mosquito from Carson tested positive for the West Nile virus. The infected insect was part of a sample of bugs collected in LA County. It was the first case to be found in Los Angeles so far this season, but the ninth statewide. Officials warn this could be an active West Nile virus season. An investigation into the Maywood Police Department reveals widespread use of excessive force and abuses of power with almost no accountability. As Richie Duchon reports, today California's Attorney General took action.
One of the most contentious cases involving Maywood Police has to do with the tasering and assault of a father and son. In 2006, the son witnessed an officer beating up a suspect. When he asked for the officer's badge number, police beat and tasered him and his father while handcuffed. Another Maywood police officer was charged in February with sexually assaulting three women in 2006 and 2007. Today, California Attorney General Jerry Brown called the Maywood Police Department a mess. Brown said his 16-month investigation of the department revealed numerous incidents of excessive force and many arrests made without probable cause.
The badge and the gun, they're power, and that power has to be exercised with restraint, effectively, under law. And what we found is that in Maywood, that wasn't the case.
Brown said the state is now seeking a court order to oversee the department. His report released today calls for intense screening of new hires, a rigorous review process after use of force incidents, and strict annual audits of the police force. Maywood Chief Administrative Officer Paul Phillips oversees the police department. He says the city supports the findings in the Attorney General's investigation and has already begun making the proposed changes.
We have a new highly qualified police chief. We are bringing in an additional captain's position. We're working internally on training and development. And we are very committed as a management team to community-based policing.
Civil rights attorney Cynthia Anderson Barker has represented clients charging abuse in Maywood. She says residents have been complaining for years about Maywood police, and she's not confident anything will change soon.
I'm very happy that they have very specific proposals for reforming the police department, but the challenge will be how quickly can these reforms be enacted.
Attorney General Brown said the violation for not complying with court-ordered reforms is contempt of court. The penalty, he said, is jail. Richie Dushan, Annenberg Radio News.
The pilot landing your plane might be a pro, but what about the air traffic controller guiding him down? A new report finds that more air traffic controllers are needed in the Southland. Jessica Connor reports.
At the LAX Traffic Control Tower, nearly 20% of the staff are trainees. A report released by the U.S. Department of Transportation shows that many air traffic controllers are retiring, and the FAA needs to expand its effort to keep experienced controllers. Mike Foote, president of the National Air Traffic Controller Association, says the air traffic towers are understaffed.
Basically, what it shows about LAX is how much overtime we're working. The fact that we're working all that overtime is because we're short.
Foote says close to a third of controllers at LAX are trainees.
But they're counting people that have never worked airplanes before as air traffic controllers.
But the FAA's Ian Greger says the issue with traffic controllers is a challenge the agency is meeting. But with so many traffic controllers retiring, Greger says hiring trainees is necessary.
A lot of air traffic controllers to retirements, you simply have to bring in new trainees. The alternative is to not replace controllers who are retiring, and that's simply not an option.
The FAA says it's offering benefits and incentives to find experienced replacements for retiring traffic controllers. But the National Air Traffic Controller Association says the FAA is hiring inexperienced trainees, keeping control towers short-staffed and airplane passengers at risk. Jessica Connor, Annenberg Radio News.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is trying to gain support for his proposed $7 billion city budget. He's holding another town hall meeting tonight at the Exposition Park Community Center at 5:30. The center is located at 3930 South Menlo Avenue. Villaraigosa's budget aims to reduce the nearly $530 million budget gap without major tax hikes or layoffs. He's asking city unions to take salary and benefit concessions, and he wants to privatize city parking garages. Tonight, we can expect temperatures to cool into the low 50s. Today's partly cloudy skies will continue into tomorrow, but it will warm up to about 70 degrees during the day, with lows in the mid-50s. The clouds will clear by Thursday, and we can expect to see a high of 75 degrees. Later on Annenberg Radio News, swine flu, medical pandemic, or media pandemonium? Are you taking enough precautions or too many? As if owning a home wasn't risky enough, an increase in mortgage scams has city officials worried. Janelle Burdett reports.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa announced a new ordinance this morning to protect Los Angeles homeowners from mortgage fraud. The mayor joined City Attorney Rocky Delgadillo on the lawn of City Hall to assure Angelenos that the city will protect at-risk homeowners from scheming consultants.
Today, Council President Garcetti and I are rolling out an ordinance that protects our homeowners, imposes harsher penalties on scam artists, and informs Angelenos of their rights as residents. They need to know that legal aid groups, financial institutions, counselors are offering free services to anyone seeking help.
Since the housing crisis began, there has been a surge in mortgage loan modification scams. Delgadillo says crooked consultants have targeted distressed homeowners.
On behalf of the Armijos family, trying to raise their child, Isaac, here in the south of Los Angeles, they responded to a cold call from Liberty One, who promised that they would lower their interest rate, lower their payments. They took the bait, and then Liberty One did the switch. They literally switched the documents, filled in different interest rate, and then forged their signatures.
Scammers contact homeowners who are at risk, but not yet in default, and convince them to refinance. Then they sign up the mortgage holder for unfair interest rates, making foreclosure an inevitability. While city leaders met downtown, in Washington, the Senate voted almost simultaneously to hire hundreds more FBI agents to tackle mortgage fraud. About 5,000 cases are reported each month. Janelle Burdett, Annenberg Radio News.
The threat of swine flu in Los Angeles County reinforces the need for access to health care. But what about communities that don't have adequate health care services? As Jean-Luc Renault reports, the county is working to fix its broken system.
Charlisa Sanders lives in the Crenshaw area of Los Angeles, where she says it's hard to find health care services.
Like call for information or try to get assistance. You know, it's very hard that people who try to help you, they get frustrated. They, you know, they give you a runaround. Tell you there's one down here and you go to it and you don't find it. It's very hard to find.
Sanders isn't alone. The Los Angeles Healthcare Options Task Force released a report today on the problems facing county-provided healthcare. It cited the need to reopen Martin Luther King Jr. Hospital in South L.A. Since the hospital closed in 2007, the area has been severely lacking health services. But to make MLK Hospital successful, the task force says the entire county health system must first be overhauled. The report addressed the county's need for better personnel management, more efficient spending, and an improved digital medical record system. The task force presented the report to Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas today at a news conference.
It is my clear understanding that every single member of the Board of Supervisors is intensely concerned about the quality of health care in this county. This is an important way for us to engage this process.
At today's supervisors meeting, Ridley Thomas submitted the report to the county CEO and the interim director of county health services. The two have 60 days to tell the board which of the task force's recommendations can be implemented. Jean-Luc Renault, Annenberg Radio News.
Now back to the swine flu. There are no confirmed cases in Los Angeles County. However, some cases of the flu have been reported at two schools in the Santa Clarita Valley. The director of the L.A. County Department of Public Health, Dr. Jonathan Fielding, says there are two probable and two possible cases of swine flu there. Every level of government is taking precautions against the disease, Marie Cunningham reports.
The L.A. County Board of Supervisors declared a local health emergency this morning, and they're not the only ones. Soon after, Governor Schwarzenegger declared an emergency of his own. The move allows the state to free up special funds to deal with the swine flu. No cases have been confirmed in L.A., but officials at the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health say the disease is almost certainly lurking somewhere in the city, and it's only a matter of time before it shows up. That's why State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jack O'Connell held a news conference today. He said Californians don't need to panic about contracting swine flu. O'Connell also said he is working with state health officials to protect the state's 6 million public school children.
We have to have a community-wide approach, and individuals have to take the precautionary steps that we've outlined in terms of basic hygiene, making sure that you don't spread germs and that you cover your nose and mouth, that you wash your hands as frequently as possible. And if you are sick, stay home. Don't go to that community playground. Don't go to a sporting event. Make sure that you stay home and you stay so that you're not spreading these germs.
So far, no California public schools have been closed, but two private schools shut their doors today. LAUSD Public Information Officer Susan Cox says the district has already implemented a plan to deal with the virus.
We are instructing parents that if their kids are sick to keep them home and do not bring them to school. Our school nurses are tracking and monitoring students who are absent.
Still, only about half of California's public schools have a full-time school nurse. Superintendent O'Connell says the importance of school nurses cannot be overlooked.
We need to make sure that we protect and invest in nurses. Nurses are an integral part of our educational delivery system. They have a very important role to play to make sure that our students come to school healthy, well-nourished, and prepared to learn.
But rest assured that it's safe to feed your kids bacon, ham, and other pork products. The California Department of Food and Agriculture gave pigs a clean bill of health and declared pork products safe for consumption. Marie Cunningham, Annenberg Radio News.
The spread of swine flu just across the border in Mexico has made people in Southern California nervous. Earlier today, I spoke with USC professor Andrew Curtis concerning the spread of the infectious disease to areas like Los Angeles.
In cities, it will be by close contact. It's a respiratory disease, and so basically breathing infected air particles. So it is a disease where people being in close proximity to each other is going to increase the risk of transmission.
Is that similar to how it would spread across the border?
It could have some implications with border crossings. Whenever you get a lot of people in a small place, such as packed into a border crossing itself, then that could actually lead to the passage of disease. So it's going to move between the populations fairly easily, just because it's one of the types of diseases where it likes people. It likes urban density in general. Also, I believe with this particular, influenza in general, is that you're at your most infective state when you're not even symptomatic. So it's not even a case of looking out for people who are displaying a lot of typical flu symptoms. So I think from that perspective, I mean, we are going to have quite a few cases. The question is, how serious are these cases going to be?
Do you think so far that the governor, by issuing the state of emergency and the other efforts that are being done, has a response been adequate?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think it is actually a good precaution to take. And in some ways, I mean, this is a strain of influenza which is probably going to be fairly mild. I mean, we are pretty well prepared for swine flu. There are other variants of influenza which we are more concerned about, such as avian influenza. So in some ways, this is going to be a nice test of the system to see how we can actually mobilize and then deal with a contagion of that type. So far, I mean, we are concerned, obviously, in Southern California because we are proximate to where the first cluster appears to have occurred, which is in Mexico. So, I mean, we have a geography, a fear in terms of we are very close to where the start of this was.
What do you think about the media's response? Are they blowing it out of proportion?
I think there is certainly an element of, as I said previously, because we are next to Mexico and because there is such a large flow of people from Mexico to the United States, and obviously there is a risk of transmission along those pathways. I think the media has a focus on this that they probably wouldn't be if this was occurring in China. So that the geography certainly has led to an increased media saturation. I would hate to say that there is absolutely no risk whatsoever, but I mean, from everything I've seen so far and the reports I've heard, is that it is a fairly mild strain. We have not seen the secondary clusters emerging in the new locations in the United States, for example. So there is an element of fear associated with any disease outbreak. But, I mean, I'm not overly concerned as long as people take the precautions which have been recommended by both the CDC and the WHO. I think we should be okay.
That was Andrew Curtis, a USC expert on emerging infectious diseases. State regulators have found dangerous lead content in religious and children's jewelry. The Department of Toxic Substances Control announced today that 33 pieces of high lead jewelry were found in stores and warehouses around Southern California. One child's necklace was made up of 74% lead. Charlotte Fadeep, an investigator with the DTSC, says regulators are moving fast to keep the tainted jewelry off store shelves.
But what we are concerned about is that some has got out there. And unfortunately, I can't say 20,000 pieces of jewelry, one piece of jewelry, 16 pieces of jewelry. We just are not able to quantify.
If you recently bought cheap Chinese-made religious or children's jewelry, visit www.dtsc.ca.gov to see if your jewelry could have lead in it. Now we check in with Ann Hsu to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Brooke Sidney. Tonight on ATVN, more updates on the swine flu. We spoke to a USC freshman who recently traveled to Mexico. Also, business students compete for the best business plan judged by a prominent bank owner. Plus, more than 100 protested downtown today against a decision made by the LA City Council. All these stories and more, tune in to ATVN on Trojan Vision tonight at 6.
Thanks, Anne. That wraps it up for Tuesdays this semester. Thanks to our crew, Jean-Luc Renaud, Marie Cunningham, Dina Diaz, Karen Marcus, Jessica Connor, Janelle Burdett, Beth Palkovic, Richie Duchon, and Ryan Nunez. Timothy Beckworth is our Tuesday producer. Our technical guru is Billy Higgins. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Brooke Sydney Gavins.